DavidRenicky.com. It's the website of choice for blue truthers like me. I've got the man himself on the phone. David, hello.
Would not be anywhere else, Vilko. Good to be with you again.
Keen star observers will be getting the telescopes out because we have a couple of big events coming up in the nearby solar system, my friend.
This is a big month. We're heading for a really good time here. The next 2 weeks are going to see some remarkable things in the night sky. And I don't care how long you want to live. You want to live another 20, 30, 50, 80 years, Bilko. You'll never see this again because I want you to have a look at it. We've got an eclipse of the moon happening on the 28th, the deepest immersion in the Earth's shadow for gosh knows how many, I don't know how long, way back. Look, we won't see another one like this until next century. This is the longest duration lunar eclipse of the 21st century. It's happening on the early hours of the morning, Saturday morning, the 28th.
Oh, Saturday morning's perfect. Everyone's got an excuse to get out and have a look,
Even you can get up early.
I might even be travelling home from work at that stage.
Well, look, you've got time to watch it because you've got probably an hour, and I think it's the longest duration. If I remember, the time would be... So an hour and 43 minutes, if I remember. This is a long-duration eclipse. And by the way, you can look at a lunar eclipse quite safely. It won't hurt your eyes. There's no problem with it.
What time in the morning do we need to get up?
On the east coast here where I am, 5:30, we'll see the start of the eclipse. In other words, the moon will start to turn a cherry colour. Now, over the next hour, until it becomes total, around 20 past 6 in the morning, this is early, the moon is setting, by the way. The further east you are, the further west you are, the better it's going to be, the longer you're going to see it.
So the interior of Queensland would be awesome.
Yeah. You should be pretty right. You'll see what I see from here.
Yeah.
And I think our times are on the same time zone at the moment. So they're the hours for you. Get up early and have a look at it, because when you see this, we expect the moon. Now, you can never be 100% guaranteed, but they're saying that because the moon's going to be immersed in the Earth's shadow deeper than it has for yonks, you are going to see a red moon. And we're talking about maybe tomato sauce colour. I'm not kidding. I mean, before they've been pretty unspectacular or non-spectacular when they've turned a cherry red. We're used to seeing that, but nothing like what we expect to happen on the early hours of the morning on Saturday. So put it in your diary. You'll have to have a good clear view of the horizon where you are, the western sky. If you see that, all well and good. You're going to have a double bunger. That's a term we haven't used for a while.
Double bunger, what's that mean?
Well, double bunger is an old term for two crackers, big cracker. The double bunger used to be a big cracker in crack when we used to have cracker night.
Oh, that's when they were legal, yeah, unless you're a friend of mine who's got contacts in the ACT.
No, this is when we're allowed to have fun with bonfires and cracker night.
That was the 70s, David.
Yeah, it was earlier than that. I go back a long way. Anyway, that's another story. Now, on the 31st, be prepared for this. You don't have to wait for it. You can see it tonight. Have a look in the east around 7 or so. About 8 o'clock is probably better. And you'll see this brilliant orange light in the sky. And that's Mars. Mars is becoming close, getting closer every day. Until the 31st, when it's as close as it'll be, well, it hasn't been like that for 15 years.
See, it's starting to make me think of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, because when it was close in that story, the launch was made from those beings, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. Explosions.
I don't want to panic people, but, you know.
No, the outside radio reporter there and the guy on the radio cutting it over, Raymond Rocello and his orchestra, saying that there's been mysterious explosions on the planet Mars. We have Professor Pearson from the observatory, and he's saying, look, we're seeing these things coming out, leaving Mars and heading for Earth. And this is the start of a radio show that scares the bejabbers out of half of New York City. It was called the Mercury Theatre on the Air, and it was done by a very young Orson Welles, who his theatre company was called the Mercury Theatre on the Air. Anyone who tuned in late would miss the disclaimer.
Yeah, that's right.
Saying this is all fun, it's not real. Do you know people were panicking all over New York? There were people that were in cars trying to get out of the city. They claimed there were suicides. I don't know. I just know that he had to come back and say, look, we're sorry.
They just weren't used to serialised fiction back in the 30s?
These are the times when they had tin cans to make sounds with, and they were all at different microphones. It was radio in a way you've never ever experienced before.
I've got to ask you, David, with this close transition of Mars, does the telescope come in handy? Can we see the so-called canals?
Yeah, even a small... Even even a small telescope will show you some features on the planet. If the dust storm clears, now there's a dust storm on the planet at the moment, and it is, I guess, close to becoming global, if not already. That's obscuring some surface features, but we can still see the polar caps, little white polar caps. So if you've got a good telescope, that would be a really dear one. Wait till a bit later in the night when it's higher up and have a look at it, because if you do, you won't see this again for a long time. Mars comes close every 15 to 20 years. It comes very close. But it's a 2 years to 1 year. 1 year here for us to go around the sun, two for Mars. So to go to Mars and to shoot a rocket off is best every 2 years when Mars is closer to us.
Right.
But it's becoming closer than it's been for a long time. So what a week this is. You've got an amazing lunar eclipse that won't be as deep as what we're going to see until the next century. I mean, this is it for the 21st century.
Well, think about this, David. Okay, the Mars is close this time round. When it does it again in how many years?
Probably 15 years
or so. We could well be on our way to starting that first colony.
Well, there'll be people there by that time, I'm sure. We would have landed there. Yeah, you're right. And what a time that will be. Imagine looking at the planet, you know, saying there are human beings up there. Jeff's up there or Bill's up there.
Elon Musk is there, even though a lot of people are saying he's a bit crazy in the last couple of weeks. Have you seen the storm over his Twitter rants?
Oh, geez. I mean, he doesn't need this. So why do that? You're destroying your credibility. I'm not interested in it, but I did see parts of it.
He's feeling passionate. I think people are attacking him over the Thailand cave thing when he was trying to offer genuine help.
His ideals were right.
Yeah.
But listen, he's got his hands full, and we may see the first paying passengers too in one of the suborbital flights coming up from Richard Branson or Jeff Bezos at the end of the year. They're saying they want to take people into space.
The end of the year? Are you saying there could be space tourism happening before the end of the year?
Yeah, I'll make a prediction that one of them will fly people, paying passengers into space between September and December this year. The thing is that close. The competition is quite strong. And there's another player too, and behind them, and there's another one too that's thinking about doing the same thing. So Richard Branson is ready to go with Virgin Galactic. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon.com, has his Blue Origin spacecraft ready to go, and both of them are going to put six people at a time into space. $200,000 is the going price. It could even be higher, and for that you get a flight to the edge of space, about 100K above the Earth. You're allowed to take your seatbelt off and float free for about maybe 7 or 8 minutes to enjoy the feeling of weightlessness, and then you come back down. Now, Jeff Bezos is launching you in a rocket with parachutes to bring you back. Richard Branson, on the other hand, puts you in a spaceship underneath a huge plane called White Knight.
I'd rather a spaceship. I'd feel a bit more safer.
Yeah, me too. And they drop you at 50,000 feet, and then the engines kick in, and up you go. And this thing glides back like the shuttle used to.
So it's like a joy flight, really.
Well, it is. That's basically what it's all about. So that's close. So I think we're seeing now this year could be the year of the first human people, or not human, but the first space tourists is what I mean.
I'd be hoping David Renicki could be amongst the first of those six people who are doing it for publicity. We'd have to start a campaign, mate.
Well, look, I think so, and if anyone deserves it, it's you and I, of course.
I'm happy for you to go first, and then you give me the report, mate. I'm not game to step in just yet.
Well, look, I'll make you a deal. If you can convince your station to foot the bill and get us both up there, I'll do the commentary.
Oh, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Hey, check out davidrenicki.com. He's got some really cool locations for stargazing if you want to do holidays, because this is something you do on the side, isn't it? You lead delegations around and do different holidays, don't you?
Yeah, we're working on some things up here where I live to try and get some sort of astro tours of the night sky going. I'm going to wait till it gets a little bit warmer, by the way, but keep these dates in mind. The 28th, which is Saturday morning. If you know anyone who's got a telescope, go and have a look. But with the eclipse of the moon, just your eyes are all you're going to need. A pair of binoculars will certainly bring it up much better, but you don't need any exotic equipment. But on the 31st, when Mars is up, and don't forget you can see that tonight or any night you want to in the eastern sky, that's brilliant. Mars is going to be visible for another five or six weeks.
Yeah, okay. And before you go, David, just explain the difference between blood moon, blue moon and black moon for us.
A blood moon is what we're going to see. That's a lunar eclipse when the moon turns that red colour.
Right.
And the only reason it turns red is because the sunlight streaming over the Earth from the sun passes through the Earth's atmosphere, and because the moon's in our shadow, that light falls onto the moon. It's already diluted because of our atmosphere. We see mainly the red light falling on the moon. A blue moon is, well, it's not a real thing. It's only a term used when you get two full moons in the one calendar month. There's no history to it. You can't trace it back to any particular origin. And the last one, the dark moon or the black moon, is simply a new moon when there's no moon in the sky. But
simple.
You may see a new moon. You may see a black moon. When you see a crescent moon, you can see that dark part of the moon in there too,
okay.
The circle, the dark area.
Okay, really simple. That's a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, that's called the dark moon.
More at davidrenicky.com. Till next week, David.
Talk to you then.